First Peter chapter 5, and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for another opportunity to gather together here in this place in your holy name. As it is written, unto you shall the gathering of your people be. And where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And so we welcome your presence into this place this morning. And we thank you for what your presence will do for every one of us and in every one of us and with every one of us and through every one of us. Because every time you come to establish your kingdom. You come to perform your will. We are your people. And let your will be done, we say, in this place today. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for opening the eyes of our understanding and helping us to behold wondrous things from the Word of God this morning. And as we see what you are showing us, help us to receive your Word with meekness and to mix faith with it, so that we may be doers of your Word and not hearers only. In the name of Jesus. Speak, Lord, we say, for your servants hear you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, now and always, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we are just going to pick it for the sake of context. We are going to pick it from verse 7, and we are just going to read it down to verse 10. That's from verse 7 to verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 10. Let's go. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, in the short context that we have read from this passage this morning, let us see clearly what God is saying to us, and let us allow the Word of God to encourage our hearts. Not just today, not just in this season, but all the days of our lives, because the Word of God is there for us at all times, and God expects us to live by His Word at all times, in season, out of season. No matter what may be happening in the world around us, whether the things are palatable or unpalatable, we just have to live by the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. Faith is not just something we use to get out of trouble. Faith is our lifestyle as Christians. Whether we have trouble or not, God expects us to live by faith, or simply to live by His Word, to be doers of His Word, to apply His Word to our daily lives, and to ensure that in all areas of our lives, day by day, the Word of God is our guiding light. Our thoughts, our contemplations, our speech, our deeds must all be guided by the word of God. As long as we do that, we will walk in all the victory that God has prepared for us to walk in as his people. Remember, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we see that God makes a clear distinction right there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that those who are born of him, they are overcomers of the world. There's a distinction between those who are born of God and those who are not born of God. Those who are born of God, they are Christians. Those who are not born of God, they are classified as the world. Just like in the times of old, under the old covenant, the children of Israel were classified as God's people, and then all the other nations apart from Israel were classified as the heathen nations. In other words, they had no covenant with God. But the children of Israel had covenant with God. And because of the covenant, God had a responsibility to look after them. And today, you and I are covenant children of God in Christ Jesus. And God has a responsibility to look after us. What God will not do for the people of the world, he will do for us. Bible says he will even give people in exchange for our lives. Because we are his own people, we are his covenant children, and we are precious in his sight. And you and I have to remember these things. That's just the key. We have to remember the word of God. And we have to learn to apply the word of God to our own lives, regardless of what is happening all around us. We have to remember that we are not ordinary people as Christians. Bible says we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people, even though we are in the world. You see, we are in the world, we are not of the world. We are not partakers along with the people of the world, whatsoever the enemy is doing unto them. We are partakers of God's own inheritance. Bible says the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's what we are to partake of, because we are the redeemed of the Lord. And then our own duty is to then take the light and shine it, so that the people that are in the world may see the light and come over on God's side and begin to partake of the benefits of salvation that we are partaking of. You see, God loved the whole world, Bible says, in John 3:16. He loved the whole world and he gave his son for the benefit of the whole world. But for anybody in this world to partake of those benefits of salvation, they will have to believe on Jesus. That's the only condition. God is not asking them to bring money before he will help them. He said, just believe in Jesus as the Savior, and then you come over to become a child of God. You become a covenant child of God, and God will have responsibility to look after you. In John chapter 1, Bible says, as many as received Christ, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who merely believe in his name. So our duty as Christians is to remember who we are, and then to remember what God has called us to do while we are here on earth. Say to your neighbor, you are called of God in Christ Jesus to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Amen. So once we remember that, then we realize that we have a role to play. If we are the light of the world, we have to make sure that our own light is shining brighter and brighter day by day. Which means individually, we have to draw closer to Christ, who is the light. And we receive light from him on a daily basis, so that everywhere we go, the light will shine. The light will shine. The light will shine. And then people will begin to see the light. They will begin to notice the difference. And they will begin to come to us to ask us questions. For instance, if everyone around us is living in fear, and they are panicky, and they see that we are not fearful, that we are calm, then they will come and ask us, "Don't you know what is going on? How come you are so calm? How come you are not worried as we are worried?" And we'll be able to tell them it has nothing to do with us. It's not of us. Because left to us, we'll be as fearful as you are. But there's somebody on the inside of us that is helping us not to be fearful. There's somebody on the inside of us that is giving us the quality to overcome the fears of the world. Without him, we'll be as fearful as you are. Then they will say, "Well, who is that person? Can you tell me about the person? Because I need that person also in my life. I'm tired of being so fearful. I can't even sleep at night. I'm so worried. Please help me to receive this same person so that I can be as calm as you are." Then we'll show them that the person is Jesus Christ in us. That's the only one that can give us confidence. That's the only one that can give us peace in turbulence. Because he's the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, including the devil that is causing trouble in the world. See, once we understand these things as Christians, we'll just go about doing what God expects us to do every day of our lives. Drawing closer to him first and foremost to receive light from him. And then everywhere we go, the light will shine through us to help others. And so we see again very clearly here in 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Well, thank God, God didn't just end it there. Because if God had ended it there, then we'll be as confused as the people of the world are. Because all we'll be saying, just as they are saying, is that, well, the devil is around causing trouble. And that's it. The devil is around causing trouble. So what are we going to do then? The devil is around causing trouble for everybody. But then, what are we going to do? We don't know what to do. All we know is that the devil is causing trouble, looking for those he may devour. And then we'll be running up and down so that we don't fall prey to him. Some of us will be hiding ourselves in order not to fall prey to the devil, because all that we know is that the devil is going up and down seeking whom he may devour. And I don't want him to devour me. Should I run and hide in the rock? Or should I go on top of the mountain? Or should I dig a hole and hide in the ground? Because the devil is going about, "Oh, I don't know where he is now. Before he comes near me, let me hide myself." And then we'll be going up and down, running here and there, and just confused as everyone else is confused. But thank God for us as Christians, we are not confused. Say to your neighbor, "You are not confused." Because God has given us the light to overcome the darkness. Amen. And the light is right there in verse 9. So let's read it together. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Let's say that again. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Once again, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith." Now notice the key word there, "whom." "Whom" there is talking about the devil that Bible mentions in verse 8. Very specific. We are not to resist one another. We are not to resist flesh and blood. We are not even to resist anything else. we are to resist the devil himself. Because all the problems that are in this world, they are caused by just one person called the devil. How do we know that? Bible is clear about it. For instance, Bible tells us that in the millennial reign of Christ, when an angel will come from heaven and take the devil and chain him down for 1,000 years, there will be absolute peace in all the world. No trouble. Why? Because the troublemaker is locked away. So we know that the person causing trouble, fear, and confusion in all the world is the devil. And Bible tells us to resist him. We resist the devil himself. Once we do that, then all his works have no place in our lives. We don't need to beat about the bush as Christians. We are a people who have clear understanding. You see, Paul, put your finger right there in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You see, we have to know the truth as Christians, because the only thing that can make us free is the truth. Religion never makes us free. It is the truth, which is the word of God. Jesus never prayed that the Father should gather unto him a religious people. Have you read that in the Bible? In John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus prayed that the Father should set apart a people for him by his truth, which is his word. Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. So the church is a sanctified people. In other words, a people that are separated from other people, and the means of their separation is the truth, which is the word of God. The only thing that makes the difference between us as Christians and the people of the world is the truth. They don't have it. We have it. So let's use what we have to walk in the liberty that belongs to us as Christians. They can't have the liberty because they don't have the truth. And that's why we have to be the light and share the truth with them to help them come over on the side of God, that they may walk in the same liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we have clear understanding, so we don't beat about the bush. We don't throw punches here and there, because even when you say you want to fight a good warfare, as Christians, you know, many times we talk about spiritual warfare. We are going to engage in spiritual warfare and do all those things which Bible tells us to do. But we have to understand how to do it properly. Otherwise, we'll just be there wasting our time. And we'll spend long hours just beating about the bush. And meanwhile, the real enemy is still loose. No, we have to know how to bind him and bind him real good. Because the power is not our own. The power belongs to God. So there is no point you and I trying all our best to bind the devil. Say to your neighbor, your best can't bind the devil. You just need God's power. That's all. It's not of us, it's of God. So Paul said this. And let us say it very clearly, just for the sake of context. I'll pick it from verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the hair. Please underline that in your Bible. So fight I, not as one that beateth the hair. In other words, I'm not just throwing punches here and there, or just shooting helter-skelter, just like this. You know, some people, out of fear, have you seen some soldiers out of fear, particularly in those war films, when they're afraid, they just take their gun and just shoot anything. Because of fear.
They just spray the bullet all over the... But if you see a very good professional soldier, he doesn't spray bullets anywhere. He's trained to get the target with one single bullet. So they know how to aim for the target and with one bullet pick the target. That's how we should be as Christians. We don't need to be beating the hair. Oh, they say this is around. Oh, now what do we do? Let's do this. Let's pray this way. Let's pray that way. We have to know how to do it. And do it with precision. That's the only way we are going to get results. Because if we just do it anyhow, we won't get results even as Christians. And there won't be any difference between us and those people that are without covenant. And yet we are God's covenant children. God loves us. God cares about us. But God cannot help us without faith. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I want God to help me, I have to walk by faith. And that faith is not my own. It's not something I come up with on my own. It has to be the faith of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20. That's the faith we live by. And so we have to know how to get it from Christ and apply it to our lives, and we get results. That's what Paul is saying here. I'm not relying on myself, remember? Paul always said one thing. He said, I am a dead man. I'm crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. It's Christ now that lives in me. Because the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In another place, he said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. You see, what is Paul saying? Well, everything about me now is Jesus Christ. That was why Paul got results. That was why in every battle he fought, he won, spiritually speaking. The devil tried to kill him so many times, just like the devil tried to kill Jesus while he was here on earth so many times. But he never succeeded. Why? Because Paul, just like Jesus, knew how to rely on Jesus and Jesus alone. Say to your neighbor, if you are going to win any spiritual battle, you have to rely on Jesus and Jesus alone. None of self, but all of Christ. Amen. So we see clearly here that we are to fight not as one beating the hair, but to fight with purpose, understanding how to do it. And that's what we are looking at this morning. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Please get your pen and paper ready. We are going to highlight some points that you can take home, meditate in, because in this hour, we all need to understand how to live victoriously and also be there to help others to find the way of victory. You see, God is counting on the church to be the people that show the way to the whole world. But if we ourselves don't understand the way, what are we going to show them? When the blind lead the blind, Jesus said, the two fall in the ditch. So the first thing is, we have to make sure that we are seeing clearly. And then we'll be able to help others see. But if we are honest with ourselves, many of us in the church, our vision is not clear. Many of us in the church are even confused, like they are confused. And the reason is because we are not spending time in the Word of God, which is the light. Bible says the Word of God is the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. If you don't have light, you'll be in darkness too, you see. Don't just be religious now and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm in the light. Yes, Jesus has brought you into the light, but that light, Jesus said, has to be shining. The only way it's going to shine is by going into the Word. He said, if you continue in my Word. He was speaking to believers. So if you are not continuing in the Word of God, your light is not shining. And when trouble comes, you be as fearful and as anxious as the people of the world are. So again, Bible says we are to resist in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why did God say we should resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith? Well, the key thing is because the weapon the devil uses, what the devil operates through, is called fear. And the only antidote to fear is faith. We have to understand that very clearly. You know, when you talk about antidote, an antidote is something that you use to counteract something else. When you have an antidote, then the thing you are trying to counteract will not be able to operate against you. You nullify it because you have what it takes to nullify that thing. God is very specific here. He didn't say, hey, resist the devil by going on 40-day fasting. Or resist the devil by going to pray on a special mountain. Have you read that in the Bible? But for some Christians, that's their own formula. When there is trouble, they say, well, I'm going on a retreat. If you can't pray where you are to overcome the devil, well, you can't overcome him. You can't overcome him in the retreat. The devil you can't flog in your territory, how do you think you flog him elsewhere? God didn't say, well, go special place before you defeat the devil. He simply told you resist him by being steadfast in the faith. That's all. Because when you have faith, you have what it takes to defeat the weapon of the enemy, which is fear. We all know all through the Bible that's the way the devil operates. That's why God always says to his own people, fear not, fear not, fear not. Because the moment you are fearful, you open the door for the devil. It's as simple as that. And there's nothing God can do. Because you are the one that left the door open. You have to shut the door. When you shut the door, in fact, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Turn with me quickly to Job. Job chapter 3. You see, all these things are in the Bible for us to understand. When we understand the ways of God, Bible says we will not be ignorant of the devices of the devil. We don't need to study the devil. Study the way of God, and God will show you the way the enemy works. And then you have what it takes to stop the devil in his tracks. You see, that's the way it works. For instance, this morning we are looking in the Bible, the Word of God, and he's showing us how the devil operates. Isn't that wonderful? We don't need to go and look for the book of Satan to study how Satan works. What you need is your Bible. The truth, the scriptures. Because if you look for the book of Satan, that's lies. They will tell you to do some special things, and it's all the devil confusing you. You read the truth. The truth is what will expose the devil. Because he's a liar and a deceiver. Now look at Job chapter 3. We all know about Job. There's nobody, who even unbelievers know about Job. So we all know about Job. But we fail to understand something that was happening in the realm of the spirit concerning Job. And that's what we all need to know very clearly and understand it. Because you see, God gave permission to Satan to go and tempt Job. How many people know that is true? That is true. We all know that. Even unbelievers know that. But how many people know that the only reason the devil was able to even do what he did against Job was not because of the permission God gave him, but because of the permission of Job himself? Because God will never overrule the will of any man. What you don't permit, God cannot permit. That's why Adam could sin. Did God want Adam to sin? No. But Adam chose to sin. Cain killed his brother Abel. Did God want him to kill his brother? No. Even God came to him and warned him and told him, sin is lying at the door. You still can do something. You still can do something now. But Cain refused to listen to God. Well, why didn't God stop Cain from sinning? Cain had a choice. And we have to understand the choices that we make. They have significance in the realm of the spirit. And Job made a wrong choice. But when things happened, thank God he realized that it was his choice. So we all talk about, God gave permission to Satan to tempt Job. And that was why Satan tempted Job. Yes, God gave permission to Satan to go and tempt Job. But even with that permission, if Satan had gone to Job and had not found an opening, he would not have been able to do anything. He would have had to go back to God and say, God, I went to Job, but I couldn't find an opening. And God would have said, well, there's nothing I can do about that, because I can't overrule his will. Didn't Satan come to Jesus himself? Did Jesus not say, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me? Didn't Bible say we should not give place to the devil? So the final authority belongs to us. God can permit things in heaven, but if we refuse them here, there's nothing God can do. And Job opened the door for the devil by fear. Because what the devil is looking for is fear. That's why the first thing the devil will do is to cause fear before he can have opening to do what he plans to do. If there is no fear, the devil has no place. You understand? How many of us remember Jairus also, who came to Jesus, that ruler of the synagogue? And then when his daughter finally died and people came and said, well, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. What did Jesus say to him? Say, fear not! Only believe. Why? Because the moment you fear, the devil is going to rule now. And there's nothing I can even do to help you. Thank God Jairus listened to him. Verse 25, Job chapter 3. Let's read together. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Verse 25, Job chapter 3. Verse 25. Let's go again. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Job himself said so. So that tells us that actually Job was afraid of all the things the devil eventually came to do. So the opening was caused by the fear of Job. Not the permission of God. The permission of God is there. But Satan would have just gone and said, well, there's no door for me to pass through. Because he needs the door of fear. All I see around him is a shield of faith. I can't penetrate that one. God, I've been there to Job, but I can't find a way through. And God would have said, there's nothing I can do. Because that's the choice of Job. If you don't have a place, then you have to leave him alone. So as simple as that. God never overrules the will of any man, no. We are the ones that either allow or disallow by our choices. For instance, in John chapter 14, what did Jesus say? Verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not. The word let means don't permit it. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In other words, it's your choice. Let not. In other words, do not allow. So Job allowed the devil to succeed because of his fear. So please write this down. Our resistance
to the devil, and of course his works, because if you can resist the devil, then you've resisted all his works. That's why we don't need to choose and pick the works of the devil. Well, I'm fighting against this particular problem. No. Go against the devil himself in the name of Jesus, and then all his works will be spoiled. If you can go to the root of a problem, you destroy the problem, everything about it. Isn't that so? So let us face the real enemy. Bible says, whom resist ye by being steadfast in the faith. There's no point, trying to cut the leaves. Go to the root, and all the leaves will fall off. So, our resistance to the devil is by maintaining our ground steadfastly in the faith. Please write the phrase "the faith" in capital letters. I will explain why I'm saying you should do that, because that's what Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9 that we read before. Whom resist ye by being steadfast in the faith. God didn't say resist him by being steadfast in faith. He said in the faith. In the faith. Very specific. That's why Paul said, I'm not just beating the hair. That's to tell us that it's not just a question of saying, have faith or come up with your faith. No. There is the faith, and that is the key to your victory. The faith. So what's the faith? That's the same thing Paul spoke about in Galatians 2:20. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. Not man-made faith. Not even my own faith. But the faith of Jesus. Now, how does the faith of Jesus become my own? That's where going into the Word of God to meditate in it becomes important. That's the way you receive the faith of Jesus to become your own, and then you can use it as the faith. Because it's not my own. It has no origin from me. It is the faith of Jesus which I've made my own. And I'm using it in this situation. Therefore, I know for sure nothing can withstand this faith, because it is not my own. It is the faith of Jesus himself who already destroyed the works of the devil. It is the faith of Jesus whose name is above all names. It is the faith of Jesus who has already spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. And they cannot say no to him. But if I come up with my own faith, the devil may not listen to me. It will be like the seven sons of Sceva. They came up with their own faith, you see. Or the devil messed them up. So you have to have the faith, which is the faith of Jesus. And to apply that to your life, when you are standing your ground to resist the devil, your focus must be on Jesus and Jesus alone. Forget about yourself. It doesn't matter whether you think you are strong or weak. Forget about that. Even the weakest Christian can bind the devil and bind him real good. If that Christian understands that, well, it's all about Jesus. The problem is we are too self-conscious. We are thinking of ourselves, I wish I could do. No, forget about yourself. Just put on Jesus Christ. Like the Bible says, put him on. And you have the armor of God in place. You'll be like David. A little boy on the outside, but a giant on the inside. Facing the mighty Goliath on the outside. And everybody is wondering, you this little rat. Even the big brothers of David, they are telling him, get away from here. This is not the place for people like you. We are the warriors. You are a shepherd boy. What are you doing here? This is war zone. War zone. Go back to the sheepfold. Don't come near this war zone. I'm sure he's just laughing at them. You're in the war zone, and the giant comes on the hill, and you all run into hiding. What kind of warriors are you?
fear grips them. You see, that's how the devil rules. The giants will just come out and say, give me a man to fight. And all of them will run into hiding, including Saul, the king himself, with all his armor. He can't go and challenge the giants. Why? Don't you realize that Saul, as the king, could have done what David did? Saul was anointed. God anointed Saul. The Holy Spirit was upon Saul. He had armor. He could have gone. But he lacked understanding that David had. See, that's the truth that we all need to make us free. David knew covenant. Saul did not understand covenant. That was why when David faced Goliath, he said, who are you, this uncircumcised Philistine? Who are you? You are not a covenant person. You don't have covenant with God. How dare you come against the children of God, the children of covenant? So he said, well, I come against you in the name. You see the key? It's operating in the faith. His faith is in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's Jesus Christ himself, the commander of the armies of heaven. No wonder Goliath fell. All your troubles will fall when you go in the faith of Jesus. Because you'll be able to resist the devil that is causing the trouble, and all his troubles will be overcome. Not by our own power, not by our own might, no. That's nothing to do with us, but everything to do with Jesus, the name above all names. That's the key. That's the key. You go in the name of Jesus. Say to your neighbor, it's all in the name. The name of Jesus. No other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. For the sake of time, just write this down concerning that. Again, in the faith, in front of that, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, Ephesians 6:16. Their Bible says, with the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Remember right there, Paul said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. And he said he wasn't ashamed of that gospel. Why? Because therein is the faith of God revealed from faith to faith. You see, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's talking about faith that comes from Jesus himself. That's what you live by. And in Acts chapter 3 verse 16, remember after Peter had been used by God to minister to that man at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they began to look at him and John as though they were special people. Peter said, well, it has nothing to do with us. Don't look on us as if by our own power or by our own goodness we've been able to help this man recover his limbs and be healed of paralysis. It is true faith. In the name of Jesus. It is through the faith that is by Jesus. In other words, the faith that came from Jesus. Which means when Peter was saying to that man, look on us, he was saying, well, Jesus is your solution. His own focus was on Jesus. That was why I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So say to your neighbor again, the faith is the key. And that faith comes from Jesus. And we take it and receive it from him. In fact, turn with me quickly to Ephesians 6 so that you see it clearly. So that when you are studying your notes, you will understand how to walk in the faith. In the faith. Not just any faith. So you are not struggling to have faith on your own. No, no, no. You can't have the faith on your own. Any faith you try to have on your own is not going to work. The only one that will work is the faith. And you have to receive it from Jesus by studying the word, meditating in the word day and night,
and allowing the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, to give it to you. You see, it's the Spirit of faith. If he doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. And he will only give it to you when you spend time in the Word, meditating in it, so that your heart and the heart of Christ become as one. And you begin to trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. 100% persuasion. You are not leaning on your own understanding. I tell you, when the devil sees you from afar, he will begin to tremble in the spirit because he sees the glory of Christ in full measure upon you. He can see it. He can see it from afar. And that's where God wants every one of us to get to. It is not a special privilege of any special group in the body. It is a common privilege for every person that belongs to Christ. And we all have to just dig into the Word of God day and night. Now, Ephesians, see what it says for the sake of time, just two verses here. We all know it's talking about the armor of God. But look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you. Notice the phrase, take unto you. In other words, don't come up with it on your own. You have to take it. And then it becomes yours. In other words, get it from God, and then make it your own. So you get the faith from Jesus, and it becomes your faith. Jesus gives it to you as his sheep, because he's the shepherd. And then he will say to you, your faith has made you whole. But where did you get it from? From Jesus himself, through the Word. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh. That's Jesus. Any faith that you don't get from Jesus is counterfeit faith. And that will not overcome the devil at all. You can be there screaming at the devil all day long. Devil, I bind you. You may even call in the name of Jesus. But it won't work. See, the name of Jesus is not a magic wand. Many times we are calling the name of Jesus. But don't you realize the Bible says don't call that name in vain? We are calling it in vain because we have not received faith from him, but we are trying to use his name. It's not going to work. When Peter said, look on us in the name of Jesus, you see, he already received the faith from Jesus. That's why he could use it, and the man could get his healing. So you have to receive it from Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So it says in verse 13, wherefore, take unto you. So you have to take it unto you. And then in verse 16, again it says, above all, taking. You see, again, you have to take it. To take it means you are getting it or receiving it from somewhere. It's not your own. Say to your neighbor again, don't try to manufacture faith. You have to get it from Jesus through the scriptures. Amen and amen. Okay, so once we understand that, then we're on the right road. So spend time in the Word, receive the faith, and while you are meditating in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit himself will help you to get that faith, and then you can use it and you get results. Because when you use it in the name of Jesus, the result will be there. So write this down next. The truth is that the devil operates through fear. But God operates through faith. See, that's why God said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that we've not been given the spirit of fear. You see, fear is a spirit. Say to your neighbor, fear is a spirit. It is the devil himself. But faith, on the other hand, is also spirit, you see. But that is God himself. You see the contrast? Faith comes from God. Bible says in Mark chapter 11 verse 22, have faith in God. Literally it means have the God faith, because he's the source. But fear, on the other hand, is not from God, it's from the devil. You see, the devil set himself up to be an opposer of God.
He's simply doing the opposite of what God is doing, because he wanted to be like God himself. So when God cast him out of heaven, he came to the earth and set up himself like God, but on the opposite side. So he is the author of fear. The moment you begin to see fear come in any area of your life, just know that that's the devil. It's the devil. Don't even think twice about it. In Hebrews chapter 2, from verse 14 to 15, Bible tells us that Jesus Christ partook of flesh and blood in order to set us free from the devil, who used the fear of death to hold everyone in bondage. He's the author of fear. He's the author of fear. So say to your neighbor, no way to fear. Just develop your faith in God. All right. So fear, the devil operates through fear. And we saw the example in Job chapter 3 verse 25. And you may want to add 2 Timothy 1 7 to that. But God operates through faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And the two cannot be present together. Just as light and darkness are never present together. One has to be absent for the other to be present. Darkness will be present when there is no light. Isn't that so? God and the devil don't live together in the same house. One has to be absent for the other. And fear and faith don't live together. You're either in fear or in faith. Now please write this down. What we focus on is what often determines where we stand, whether we are standing in faith or standing in fear. What we focus on is what determines where we stand. You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 that the light of the body is the eye. And if the eye is single, your body will be full of light. In other words, what you focus on will determine whether you have your life in the light or in the wickedness that is in the world, which is the evil one. So by that we mean that if you focus on the trouble or what the devil is doing, fear will come to you. You'll be standing in fear. It doesn't matter whether you speak in tongues or not. When you focus on the works of the devil, fear will grip you. That's how the devil has designed it. But if you focus on God and the word of God, faith will come. It's as simple as that. That's why you must hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The moment you begin to see yourself thinking fearful thoughts, cast them down immediately. Don't even dwell there 1 second more. Say, no. I'm not going to focus on the work of the devil. I don't deny the fact that the devil is there, because Jesus said he will be there causing us trouble in the world. But my focus is not on what he's doing. My focus is on what God is doing. Because what I want is faith, the faith of Jesus. And in front of that, please write this scripture and look at it when you get home. I know you know it already. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29 and 30. But please read it in context from verse 22 to verse 31. Is the account of Peter walking on water to go to Jesus. When he focused on Jesus, and Jesus said, come. Because Peter said, well, if it be you, tell me to come out of the boat towards you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter, because he was focusing on Jesus and thinking of the word come, because Jesus gave him the permission, and the Bible says Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water towards Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Peter doing exactly like Jesus. But then, after a while, he looked away from Jesus, looked at the waves. And the Bible says fear gripped him and he began to sink. So what was the difference? What he focused on. When he focused on Jesus, he walked on the water. When he focused on the waves, fear gripped him. So it's as simple as that. What we focus on will determine where we stand, whether faith or fear.
Now, please write this down as we begin to round up. Faith positions us to receive boldness from God. And this boldness enables us to overcome the fear of the devil. So faith is what gives us the stance or the position to receive boldness from God. If you want to be bold as God is bold, you have to receive his faith. And that faith will position you to overcome the fears of the devil. In front of that, please write Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 31. It's the account of the early church when they were threatened. You see, that's the devil for you. The devil is the one that uses threat, just threaten people to make them to be afraid. Bible says they went and they prayed, and in their prayer, they were asking for boldness. And God gave it to them, filled them anew with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the threats that the devil brought against them could not work. They went and continued to do what God told them to do. And the devil couldn't stop them. Finally, please make a subheading in your paper, in your writing paper, and say, how do I do this? How do I ensure that personally I walk in the faith, the faith that will help me to steadfastly resist the devil or stop the devil from having a way in any area of my life? Three key things we find in Scripture. Number one, meditate in the Word of God and believe it wholeheartedly. That's where it begins from. You have to go to the Word of God and meditate. Don't just glance over the Word of God. Meditate in it. To meditate means think upon it, reflect on it. You read it, but then don't just glance through. You begin to think on what you've read. For instance, like we read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, whom resist ye steadfast in the faith, you begin to think about that all day long. Whom resist ye steadfast in this faith? What does this mean? Blessed Holy Spirit, open my understanding that I may understand this. Whom resist ye steadfast in the faith? So I have to resist the devil. The devil is the real one that I must focus on to make sure I resist. Not even his works, because when I resist him, then his works cannot be against me. And how do I do that? By being steadfast in the faith. I have to be steadfast. Steadfast means I have to be firm. I have to stand my ground and refuse to be moved. Even when it seems that the devil is not going to go, I will refuse to give up because I know he is the one that has to bow. At the name of Jesus, he has to bow. The Bible says if I resist him, in James chapter 4 verse 7, as I submit myself to God, if I resist the devil in that place of submission to God, the devil will flee from me. So I'm not going to give him ground. I stand my ground firmly, and he has to go. So meditate in the word and believe it wholeheartedly. In front of that, Romans chapter 10 verse 10, we all know what is there. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. Their Bible teaches us that God encouraged Joshua to be bold and to be courageous. And the key to doing that is to meditate in the word of God day and night. That's how we get boldness. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. When you spend time in the word of God is going to grow in you and prevail. It will prevail against all opposition, all fear, and everything contrary to the truth. So when we meditate in the word, that's how we get the faith of Jesus. So point number one means we are getting faith from Jesus. We are taking his faith unto ourselves. Then number two thing to do is to confess the word that you've got from the Bible while you are meditating in it. You have to confess that word with your mouth. You confess it with your mouth, or you speak it in faith with your mouth. And in doing so, you are releasing the faith. Because when you get something, you have to release it to work for you. If you don't release it, then you are not going to get the effect or the result you desire. It's like a man that has a gun, has bullets in his gun, but he does not fire the gun. How is he going to get the result?
So when faith comes, you see, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when faith has come, you have to send the faith to do the job. Isn't that so? So you have to release it. When you receive the faith, then you release it by declaring the word of God out of a heart of full persuasion and letting that word get the result. We see that even with God in the account of creation in Genesis. God, who is the God of faith, when he in his heart desired to create order out of chaos, he had to release his faith by speaking words out of his mouth. Let there be light. And then the Holy Spirit took the word and performed it and changed the darkness to light. It's the same way today. You have to confess that word with faith in your heart, and that way you release your faith. In front of that, please write Romans 10:10 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. We all know what is there in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. If you have it, then you speak it. And finally, number 3, you pray with the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, again, the 3 points we have mentioned, all of them are based on the word of God, because it has to be by the faith of Jesus. You meditate in that word and get the faith of Jesus. Number 2, you speak or confess that word which you have got by meditation, and your heart is filled with it. You are fully persuaded. You speak it to release the faith of Jesus to get the job done for you. And then number 3, that same word, you begin to pray with it, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit to perform it for you. See the key? It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. Even after you've declared the word of God, you are still waiting on the Holy Spirit to get the job done. The power that restrains the devil is the Holy Spirit himself. Bible tells us that the devil is being restrained from manifesting as Antichrist today because of the Holy Spirit. It is only when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way that the devil will enter into a man and possess that man to become a physical Antichrist. But the spirit of Antichrist is already walking in the world, waiting for the time when the Holy Spirit, who is restraining him, will be taken out of the way, and that's when the church has gone in the rapture. Because the moment the church goes, the Holy Spirit goes with the church. Isn't that wonderful? And then the devil can enter into the man that he has chosen to be the Antichrist and use him to do what he wants to do in that short period of time that God gives to him. So pray with the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in other tongues. In front of that, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 14 and 15, and also verses 2 and 4. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15, and verse 2 and verse 4. All of them encourage us to pray in other tongues, because when we do so, we are in the Spirit. We are declaring the mysteries of God. And also in verse 4, we are edifying ourselves. We are building up ourselves in our faith and in our courage and boldness in God to stand our ground in victory. So when we do that, what we are simply doing is to enforce the faith victory that belongs to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 tells us, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and thank him. Let's thank him. We are the people of God. We are covenant children. We are people of victory. We have no fear. What we have is faith. And our faith, according to Ephesians 6:16, quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. No matter what the devil is doing in the world, our faith can take care of him and all his evil works. So you wake up every morning and declare your faith in Jesus. And let that faith be a shield for you and all your house and your loved ones. The devil cannot penetrate that shield. The shield of faith that is based in Jesus Christ.
That's the key. That's the key. Let's rise to our feet. And let's just make this faith declaration. In simplicity, let me put it that way. Because when we are walking by faith, we are basing it on Christ. It has nothing to do with us. But we are ready to be steadfast in it and fight the good fight of faith until we get the victory. The fight does not mean we are struggling in our human strength. The fight there literally means we are standing our ground in Christ. That's what it means. We are not giving up because we know Jesus has already got the victory for us. We are like the woman in Luke chapter 18, the widow woman. That's how to fight the good fight of faith. You see, she didn't struggle with the judge, relying on carnal weapons. You never read there that she went cursing the judge or getting angry with the judge or going to hire thugs to beat the judge up so that she could get justice. That's what some of us would do today. Just go and hire some thugs to scare that judge to get the justice. No, the woman understood that the key is to put her trust in God, because she just went to the judge, "Avenge me of my adversary." Because she knew the law was on her side. And the job of the judge is to uphold the law. And so, judge, do your job. That's what the woman was simply saying. I'm not going to back down because I'm on the right side of the law. And that's what you are there for. You have to avenge me of my adversary because I'm on the right side of the law. The adversary is on the wrong side of the law. And your job is to do justice. So give me justice, judge. The judge said no. She went back. I'm not giving up because what I'm asking for is my rightful inheritance. Justice belongs to me. And that's what it means to fight the good fight of faith. Say to yourself, victory belongs to me. In Jesus Christ, I will not settle for anything other than victory. I'm an overcomer. I overcome the devil by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the word of my testimony. In every situation, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who has loved me. In Jesus' name, the works of the devil have no place in my life and in my household and in the lives of my loved ones in Jesus' name. Because it is written that the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Satan, I take authority over you right now. I bind you and I command you to stand clear of me and all of my household and all of my loved ones. You have no place in our lives, for we are covenant children of God in Christ Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus against you, Satan, and all your evil works, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now lift your hands to God and thank Him. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You see, that's how to do it. You are not struggling. You are not even sweating. And then you can then begin to give thanks to God. And the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He will be the one saying to the devil, stand clear of that one. Stand clear of that one. Don't go near that one. Don't go near that one. Don't go near that one. And the devil will back off. Because greater is the power of the Holy Spirit than the devil. That's the way it works. That's why the Bible says God will rebuke the enemy for us, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm. Because we have done our own part in faith. We put on the armor of God. We are standing our ground in faith. And then we can begin to thank God and praise Him and thank Him for His faithfulness. Because faithful is He who has promised. who also will do it. He never fails to keep his word. He said to Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So don't be afraid. Don't let the people of the world get you to begin to behave like they are behaving. You are a child of covenant. Be bold in the Lord and walk by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. And in closing, does that mean, for instance, that I should tempt God or be, you know, unwise in my ways? Obviously, no. Obviously, no. You won't go in the devil's territory and say, well, I'm a child of God. I come into your territory to prove that I'm a child of God. No, God didn't say you should go do that. You go about your own business. So when the devil comes across you, while you are going about your business, you can resist him there. Hallelujah. For instance, you know, concerning what we all know is happening in the world today, does it mean that I should be unhygienic? Of course, that would be foolishness. Does it mean that I have to prove a point that I belong to God, so I go and touch some unclean thing and say it won't harm me? No, 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 no. God didn't send you to deliberately go and touch unclean things. Wash your hands, clean up, do all that you can, but put your trust in God. Hallelujah. Your trust is not in the physical measures, but in God. But of course, you have to do physical measures. You can't say, I'm spirit, and then I don't do physical. It's just like for you to say, I'm spiritual, I don't need to eat food anymore. How many people know that? You compare spiritual with spiritual and physical with physical. The two must be balanced. But our confidence is in God, who created the physical out of the spirit and put us in this physical realm to live until he calls us home. Hallelujah. May God keep you and preserve you in your going out, in your coming in. And keep all your house, because God is a covenant keeping God. The same way he kept Noah and his house, he will keep you and your house and all your loved ones from all manner of evil. No plague will come near your dwelling. All the diseases of the world have no place in your life. You are the redeemed of the Lord, and you say so every day in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.